I want to turn our attention to Mark chapter 4 and verse 39. Jesus has been asleep in the back of the boat, and the sea is raging. His disciples are in fear of drowning, and they go wake him up. And he arose, and he rebuked the wind. I want you to notice, he rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Isaiah 57 and 19, "I create the fruit of the lips, peace, peace, to him that is far off, to him that is near, saith the Lord, I will heal him." But the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith the Lord, to the wicked. I want to teach tonight from this thought a great calm. A great calm. He rebuked the winds and the seas, and there was a great calm. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for encouraging us tonight. Thank you, Lord, for everything you've done and what you're doing right here in this little community, God, and in our church. Heal all of us, God, of all the things that ail us and keep us from having the peace that we need with you. We give you the praise for what you're doing in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. God bless you. You may be seated. A great calm. One of the most amazing things about water is that it is not compressible. It's not compressible, like air is not compressible. So that if it's disturbed in any portion, it just continues to be disturbed. It's called a rippling effect. Have you ever heard of the rippling effect? It's just, you can take a pond that's just slick, just completely calm. Take a brick, a rock, and throw it out in the middle. And I promise you, when it hits the middle, there's a big katoosh. But then it's not just one little wave, it's just, and it will not stop until it gets to the shore. It's going to keep going because the water's not compressible. So it just keeps pushing and pushing and pushing until it finally gets to the shore. It's called the ripple. So many disturbances in life are that way. Can you say amen? And you didn't need, you were just fishing. You were just waiting. You were just in the water, but somebody else disturbed the water. It seemed like Jonah did that. Those men were at peace till Jonah got on the boat, but Jonah was the reason why the disturbance came. But I preached a sermon one time called Jonah's Got to Go. Sometimes you've got to get rid of Jonah. He is the cause of the disturbance. And so the rippling effect, sometimes we all are affected by when still waters are affected, they no longer are still. The whole pond is going to be disturbed by one little thing. James said this about the waves and the wicked. He said, "If any man lack wisdom," which to some degree we all do, he said, "let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not or withholdeth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith." Don't just ask. He's still got to ask in faith. He said, "nothing wavering." Nothing wavering. "For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed." I've been, and I'm sure Brother Ken has, and many of you that fish, I've been on slick waters. And that wind come up, and before long, I got to pull up my anchor. I've got to flee for my life. And the wind is just keeps pushing them and pushing them and pushing them. And so I'm affected by the wind, but yet it's the waves is my problem. It's not the wind is my problem. It's the waves are my problem. But the wind is causing the waves. And so he said, "let not the man that thinketh he shall receive anything from the Lord." Let that person that wavers, you wonder sometimes, why don't I? Are you wavering? My question, are you wavering? Because if you waver, he said, let him not think he's going to get anything from the Lord. A double-minded person is unstable in a few of his ways. Well, y'all been reading your Bible. A double-minded person is a wavering person that can't make up their mind one way or the other about so many things in life. And when you waver, you cause waves. Yeah, that's what happens. You waver, you cause waves. And before long, nobody believes in you because they can't trust your decision. He said, a double-minded person is unstable in all of his ways. And he just calls it, he has this rippling effect in life. It just seems to never, ever end. The waves may look like they're only on the surface, but I want you to know that they go deeper than the surface. I've done some diving before, and I'm like, I remember one time, Lord, God has been, Brother Buddy, we was talking about how the Lord takes care of fools like you and I. That's what we said that out there. I think I did. I'm sorry. But, you know, just do crazy things. And I remember one time going diving, and it was just as slick as it could be. And I took a good look to see if there was any clouds or anything. Didn't see anything. I was by myself in a pontoon boat, and I anchored, and I put my anchor out, just kind of threw it in the sand there. And I'm down about 15 feet, not too deep. And after a while, it started getting dark all of a sudden, and I felt the water 15 feet down doing a little bit like this. And I'm like, oh, Lord. And I came up, and I'm telling you, my boat was going. It was pulled the anchor off that hump, and with the anchor, if it gets in deep water, it's just, the rope just does this, you know, and it's just going. And I had to swim. I came up just in time to catch that boat and climb in. And you didn't hear that, Mom. And I had plenty of oxygen, don't worry. But I was down 15 feet. The wind was on, I'm trying to teach you something. The wind was on the surface, but yet 15 feet deep, I was feeling something. And here our writer says that waters that are left alone, when they're still, that's fine. But when the wind begins to blow, if you don't leave it alone, you cause a disturbance that you think is on the surface. But it's much deeper than that. And these rough waters are treacherous even to things under the water. And the wicked, he said, are like the troubled sea, which cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. They bring up stuff that's already been settled. Oh, that's good right there. That's good. They bring up stuff that's already been settled because they disturb it up here and it starts going down here. And before long, the water is muddy. Not because the surface was muddy, but because it stirred the bottom up. Oh, I'm preaching great calm. You need a great calm. A great calm. The waters may look like they're only on the surface, but I'm here to tell you that they go all, if you disturb the top, it disturbs the bottom. Water is not compressible. It will move the bottom too. And sometimes if we had ever learned to just leave it alone. But all I did was, if you just leave it alone, just leave it alone. Because anytime you stir things up, it's going to have a ripple effect. God is our creator of peace. Can you say amen? He said, I'm peaceful to those that are far off. I'm peaceful to those that are near. I'm the God of peace. I want peace. And he entered into their troubled situations. What did he say? Fear not. Peace. Unto my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, because that peace can be disturbed. My peace I give unto you, because you can't be disturbed. Well, let not your hearts be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. What you worried about? So in our text, he says, I will heal them. What he's saying is, I will cause the wind to quit blowing. Now, if the wind quits blowing, Brother Ken, what will happen to the waves? They're going to go away. If the wind quits blowing, eventually the waves will go away. In our text, Jesus is in a boat and the disciples are with him. And there arose a great tempest. And they didn't wake him up when the first wind started. They waited until he brings people to the brink of death. And then he saves them. They let him sleep in the back of the boat until the Bible says the water was filling the boat and it began to sink. And they go back and wake up the calm man, see? He was sleeping in the boat. They wake up the calm man on the boat and said, Master, care us not that we perish. They're upset and he's so calm, you know. Well, let me see what I can do about that. And he goes after he awakes and he goes and he speaks peace in their lives. He said to the wind and to the waves, peace be still. And the wind ceased. Notice. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. See, there's a difference between a calm and a great calm. I've been to Toledo Bend before and rush up there, and as soon as I turn where my camp is, I can see the water, and the water's just doing this. I mean, it's hitting the bank and coming over, and it's like the wind's not even blowing. It's the residual effect. Even though the wind's not blowing, it's going to take hours. I've been out there, and you have too, hours before all that quits, and the wind's not even blowing. He said to the wind, cease, and rebuked the waves, and there was a great calm. He said to the source, stop it. He said to the wind, cease, stop it. And then, so that they didn't have to stand out there and do this for hours, he said, I rebuke those waves, the effects of the wind. Stop the wind, rebuke the waves. This is a great lesson, whether you know it or not. Stop the wind, you know what I mean? Stop the wind and rebuke the waves. And there was a great calm. It went, pshht. See, this is not a normal calm. I feel like maybe somebody here tonight needs a great calm. I'm 59 years old. I don't have 20 more years for wait on a calm. I need a great calm in my life. I need it to, Jesus, stop it now. I don't have time to fight all of this. Stop it now. Anybody need a great calm in your life? Amen. Anytime there's a great disturbance, just like there was, a great tempest, you need a great calm. Because if you don't, you'll go years and years and years with a rocking and the wind quit blowing, but you're still rocking and rolling and reeling this thing over in your mind. What happened? What went wrong? What should I have done? All this kind of stuff. I rebuke that. He said to the wind, stop it. And he said to the waves, lay down. He rebuked them. And there was a great calm. Everybody on the ship was nervous except one. The one, I'm just telling you, somebody in your family better be calm. Guess who it is in my family? Between my wife and I. There you are. She got on her St. Patrick's color too. Can I tell one thing? Just one. I'm going to need a great calm after this. Go for it, huh? One time David got a little condition called urticaria. Brian knows what that is, urticaria. And his ears swole up. And you get it sometimes from eating like shellfish. And your ears swell up. His lips literally turned inside out. I mean, inside out. And his face swelled up. His red. It was unbelievable. And so he woke me up in the middle of the night, tapped me on the shoulder. Dave was always calm. And he woke me up. He tapped me on the shoulder. And I looked at him. As soon as I looked at him, I said, son, let's go in the restroom. So there's a mirror there. So I turned him immediately so he could not see himself. Okay? And so Jerry gets up. And the wind blew. And there was a great tempest that went on. Oh, it got bad. She came in there, and I had him where he was just as calm as he could be. And she said, oh, my God! And when she said that, he went to crying, and he saw himself, and it was a great disturbance. But somebody's got to be calm in your boat. Hallelujah. One time, one more. This is not you. I'm going to leave you out. One time, my father and I was riding. We was married at the time, I think. But was out at my dad and mom's house, and I was riding a four-wheeler, and I hit a stump, and it broke one or two toes. I don't remember now, but it knocked that toenail off, that big one. And I felt blood in my shoes. I knew something was wrong. I said, Dad, I need to go back to the house. I said, I hit a stump. So I go back to the house, and I'm sitting down and he pulls my sock off and there's that toenail. He just, you know, it's just hanging there. And I was doing good. And my daddy did some suggestive thinking. He said, "Now, son, you're going to go into shock." If he hadn't have said that, and there was a, I needed a great calm, you know. I was fine until he told me I was supposed to go into shock. I didn't know that. But somebody has got to be calm. Right? Because what happens is fear feeds fear. So that two people that are fearful, do you see that? Well, I think I did. You better hide. Yeah, me too. Get the gun. And before long, your feet, and there's nothing there. Oh. Hallelujah. Great calm. Great calm. And so Jesus, the calm man, after the storm had subsided, he looks at them, and guess what he rebukes? It's them. He said, "Oh, ye of little faith, why didst thou your wavering?" Not you. He was comparing them to the sea. That the sea was just like you. You're up and then you're down, and you're up and then you're down, and oh, he's up, and then he's down. And what happens is, if you're not careful, you rock with the emotions of the sea. There was a time when Jesus came walking on the water, and when he came walking on the water, there was another tempest, another setting, he came walking on the water. This was the time when Peter said, "Lord, if it's you, bid me to come." Now, I'm just telling you, I believe I'm going to be 100% right in what I'm fixing to tell you. Jesus wasn't walking on the sea, and it was going, "We see him, oh, now we don't. There he is, oh, now he's not." It was calm where he was standing. Now, the rest of it was going up and down. The boat was going up and down, but not him. He wasn't going up and down. If he was, Peter wouldn't have said, "Bid me to come." But he saw how calm it was where Jesus was. He said, "Lord, have mercy, bid me to come." But his faith was not like Christ. So when he got out, what did he see? He lost sight of the calmness and he saw the winds blowing boisterous. And the winds created the waves and he began to sink. And he cried out, "Lord, save me." And immediately, the calm one reached down there and pulled him up, put him back in the boat. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad you got the calm one on board tonight? Hallelujah. You got to realize you need the calm one on board. He is the one that speaks peace in the middle of a storm. And sometimes I need quick peace. I don't know about you. I don't have years to wait on. I need a quick peace about it. And I need a great calm in my life. And I'm sure at times you do too. And I feel like somebody tonight needs a great calm. You know, David said this. He said in that great 27th Psalm, he said, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, and he leadeth me betide turbulent waters." No, still waters. I thank God for the green places in my life. I really do. The green pastures where there was places to feed. And he brings me by still waters, waters that have been calmed and waters that won't be disturbed. A place, everybody needs a still place in their life. There's an old song we used to sing, "I just steal away, I just steal." Now it was a different kind, like stealing away, but I'd like to use it like I just need a still place in my life. I need to be still. Did he not say be still and know? Yeah, be still and know. So when you know that I am God. So when you got all of these disturbances, on, you can't understand that he's God. When you're looking at all the winds, you can't understand that he's God. You've got to have a still place in your life. I have to have it. To study and pray for you, I shut doors. I got to have a still place. And if you want to communicate with God, find you a still place in your life. David had a lot of disturbances in his life. But he found that day when he lost everything, he found a still place. And when was that still place? It's when everybody left him alone. And they thought of stoning him. Ooh, he needed a great calm. He needed a great calm. So he said, "Lord, should I go or should I pursue after him? What do you want me to do?" See, he hadn't been really doing that with the Lord because he was kind of drifting away from what God had called him to do. But now, because of the disturbance, he gets back on track. See, God uses these disturbances to get you back on track. And so he said, "Lord, should I go or should I pursue?" He found him a still place. He said, "Abathar, bring me the ephod." He wrapped that prayer shawl around him and he got still and he knew God. Even the prodigal son, it wasn't till everybody left him and he finds himself out there with the pigs, brother, and he sits down and he says, I'm better than this. And when he got still and his world quit moving, see, as long as his world was moving, he was with this righteous person over here and he had money to spend, he was going here and going there, he never could come to that decision. He had to come to a still place. And when everything got still and his world quit moving, he said, I'm going home. I have made up my mind. No man cares for me but my Father. I'm going home. Everybody needs a great calm in their life. And you need the calm one on your ship. He didn't prevent the waves from coming, Brother Valentine. He didn't prevent the wind from blowing, but I had him on my ship. Hallelujah. I fear too many times I waited too long to wake him up. I should have, you know, it's okay for the water, for the boat to pass through the ship, but you can't let the water pass through the boat. And so many times I'm afraid we wait till the water's in the boat and they were about to sink. Not that he can't do it, but Lord, I'm hysterical by that time. It's about to sink. Don't you care, Lord, that I perish? Keep the calm as they come tonight to play. I want to tell you as I close here tonight, if you don't keep the calm one on your ship, you will drift like a ship without a sail. You will just go with whatever. The Bible says don't be carried about by every wind of doctrine. Some thing comes through the Christian world, and there you go. And then it runs this way. There you go. He said, do not go here, there, and yonder. And when they say, he's over here and he's over there, he said, I'm in you. I'm in you. They don't have any more God than you should have. And so we need to pray that God gives us direction, because let me tell you, without direction, you can't resist distraction. See, I said something there. Without direction, you will not be able to resist distraction. People that have distractions in their life are people that have no direction in their life. But if I have directions from here to where I want to go, I'm not distracted by every road thinking I should turn down this road, because I have directions. You need directions in your life. And God gives us enough. You know, he gives you a thought process. He gives you, as a man thinks, so is he. He gives you, God has never made a chair. Did you know that? He never made a guitar. Never made a golden sceptre. Never made an automobile or computer. But what he did do was give man the raw material. And he gave him a mind. And if you ever get still long enough, what could I do with that gold? What could I do if I could just... But you see, as long as you're busy, your thought process is messed up. And so men have gone from, Lord, to computers, microwaves, all this kind of stuff, because somebody got still long enough to figure it out. God gave us the natural resources, if you will, and he's given you everything you need. You say, well, if I just hadn't went through this when I was a child, if this just hadn't, no, he gave you everything you need to live for him. Amen. It's how you process your thoughts. Two people can go through the same thing and come out with different perspectives about the same thing. Naomi had two daughter-in-laws. They both lost their husbands. They both were Moabites. They both went through the same thing. But when Naomi went to go home, she said, see y'all later. I'm going home. The Lord dealt bitterly with me. I was full and I'm going back empty. And they followed her, the Bible says, for a way, both of them. Orpha said, Ma, I'm going to go with you. And she said, oh, look how old I am. You don't have time for me to have children, raise them up, and you marry. You don't have time, girl. Go home. She said, okay. Kissed her, and she went. But Ruth, wow, went through the same thing, saw the same thing, same mom-in-law, lost a husband too. She looked at her and said, let me tell you, Mom, where you? Yeah, I'm out of here. I don't know what's over there, but I'm out of here. I don't know where you're going, but I'm out of here. But Orpha wanted to cling to, well, I'm a little more familiar with this territory here. You know, I have friends over here, and I'm going with you. And the bottom line is, yes, she said, where you live, I'm going to live, where you bear. But the main thing, she said, your God. Woo! Your God is going to be my God. I see you lost everything. I hate, but your God, he's still God. You serve the one true, your God will be my God. Hallelujah. And they too, the Bible says, went together. Two people, same thing. So you have all the things that you need to live for God. You don't need a new car, a better job, or anything, not to live for God. You may need it for life, but you don't need to live for God. So it's how you process your thoughts. Because as you think, so are. Anybody need a calm in your life? Yes, sir. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's stand tonight as they sing. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.